Hi Sandra, you asked me to reflect a bit on belief manipulation. Interesting and intriguing story, because it is what in system theory would be called a third order or a critical perspective. System theory works with four levels: first, second, third, and fourth order. Alchemy would call it earth, water, air, and fire. System theory would call the state, the process, the transformation, and the integration. In the science of life, that would connect in reverse order with freedom of choice, decisions, convictions, and reflex. And this story is then about what happens at that level of convictions, which is the level of belief, and as that is a third order phenomenon, what happens with this belief manipulation? Let me first add a bit about that first, second, and third order perspective, because only after that can you go to the fourth, which is the integrative perspective. The first perspective is basically that of the baby, like classical science. You're in a cradle and the universe is it, and you're at the center of it. You holler and something moves, and you live or you die. But that's how things are. The baby in the cradle, the first order perspective. System theory calls that the state. Classical science calls that the invariant, or the inert. Basically, that's how it is, no discussion, and a lot of churches like that perspective to keep the people from thinking. And if you can tell them, well, there's nothing else to think about, then you can stop people thinking, and basically they become like babies in their intellectual development, and thus the equivalent of slaves. There's no self-reflection, no development of thought. After that first level of the baby level, you go to the second level. The baby becomes a child, walks around, discover that mommy and daddy have different perspectives. That's variability. System theory calls that the process. Alchemy calls that the water element, the fluidity, the flow. And that's where you can see that this ice clump of the steady state of the first order system melts and becomes a fluid second order system, which of course works in a totally different way. You can walk on the iceberg, but you need to swim in the ocean. And in that way, sort of running ahead of the story a bit, you can also see that in vehicles you have that. The alchemy of transport, the first order system, you have the cart traveling on the road. You need to pave a road and then the cart can go there. Second order system, you have the boat in the water. The boat can go anywhere, but you must make sure that it is watertight and displaces water so that it can carry its own weight. A third order system, you're free to go anywhere, but you must make wings so that the wings can carry you. That's different from the boat, where you displace the water and the water will carry you. In the air element, you need to make the movement and then the wings can carry you. Fourth order element, as you translate or transition between spaces, because you internally carry yourself. A parallel to that is the four forms of causality. With your hand, you can pick up a rock, put it somewhere else. That's the first order state. The second order state is you have a bowl of water. You can scoop water, put it in your hands, and put it somewhere else. Water a plant or something. So when you deal with water, you do that differently. When you deal with air, you can move your hand in the air, but you cannot grasp the air. Fourth element, it is the energy within you. It's the fire within you. It's the life within you that moves your arm. It's the other way around. So when you go from the first to the second to the third order principle, you go from your hand working with the rock, the water, and the air to something moving your arm. It's the other way around. And likewise, when you have that cart or the boat or the airplane, it is it moving through the space. But if you have a dimensional craft, the universal principles need to modify it within. And what we are dealing with then is that transition from external to internal, from moving matter to matter being moved, from the objective to the subjective. And that transition takes place at the third order level. And the third order level, which is where you're not dealing with the iceberg, you're not dealing with the water, but you're dealing with the water evaporating and evaporating so that the clear sky can become filled with clouds from which the rain can fall, which then can form the rivers and the lakes and fill the oceans. So that third level is where the water evaporates or condensates, where something is there, something is not there. And a lot of people have difficulty to grasp that. It is also in our development, first order level is the baby, second order level is the child, third order level is puberty. And in puberty, you suddenly discover that you're only half human. You're a boy or a girl, and it's only together that you can form a human. So suddenly there is a collapse in the understanding, because you run headstrong, head on into the limitations of your understanding. You either crack the egg and get beyond, or you break your skull in trying to crack the egg. But as system theory, and specifically explicitly dimensional analysis says, at the moment that you reach the barrier of the system, you need to do something to be able to get through. Einstein said that there is the event horizon, but that's where he recoiled, went back, even though in his light cone he said there is another side. Max Planck said there is another side. But relativity theory did not integrate that, so it couldn't resolve that. So relativity theory is like the childhood model of science. Quantum theory then is like the puberty model. Says, okay, there is another side, but we don't quite know what to deal with it and how to deal with it. There is another side, so let's explode some atomic bombs. Good for fun, but like in puberty, there's no understanding of the sequences of consequences. So there is an inherent problem with that third order system, because people come from babyhood to childhood to puberty, but they only know what they know. And in puberty, they need to know what they don't know. They need to work with the unknown. They need to resolve their blind spots. And as system theory puts it, that barrier of consciousness, or the light barrier, the edge of reality of the event horizon, which is defined by relativity theory, is the system boundary. And the beauty of dimensional analysis is that when you define the system boundary, you will always define it from the perspective to which you run into it. And actually, dimensional analysis was created to help make scale models, because if you want to build a ocean tanker which is 200 meters long, but nobody has ever built something that size, then how will you know if it will break on waves, or what else can go wrong? And as it has not been built, you do not know what will happen. So instead of building a 200 meter ship, you start with building a 20 centimeter ship, and then hope that gives you some insight in what's going on. But of course, if you build a 20 centimeter ship, the molecules of the water do not shrink for your model. You will still be working with the same water. You will still be working with the same air. The gravity of the planet will be the same still. So some of the things you cannot shrink in a model, and you need to account for that. And dimensional analysis has a beautiful way of dealing with that. It says, well, everything that you need to take into account, that you want to consider for making that model, you need to realize that all of that will take place in space, time, and energy. They did not include consciousness yet. We need to include consciousness yet, which is our subject participation in it. So they didn't have that, so they said you need to define everything in terms of space, time, and energy. So whatever parameter you have, it must be defined in terms of kilogram, meters, or seconds. And in doing that, the discovery was made that when you combine all of these parameters for that scale model, you can organize them in such a way that they become dimensionless. You need to define them so that they become dimensionless, so that the size of the model boat does not matter. You need to have it in a dimensionless number. There must not be any influence of meters, distance, length, in that model that you create. Likewise, if you need to scale it down, scale it up, then the speed of the wave of the water in a model, which is different from the speed of the wave of the water in the real thing, you need to sort of get rid of that, and that must go dimensionless too. Same for energy. So in that way, a calculation was made, which is that of the dimensionless number. Everything that you want to consider in the creation of that scale model needs to be there, but it needs to end up being dimensionless, regardless of the size of, or the speed, or the weight of it. And in that process, something really very fundamental came in, which was that if you include something which should not be there, or exclude something which should be there, then you have something, a parameter extra or a parameter lacking, but that dimensionless number which you create by that same process of creating the dimensionless number will be different. And the intriguing bit is that the dimensionless number which defines that system, that model, that scale model, actually will indicate the crucial transition of that specific system. And there are many of these dimensionless numbers. The number of Mach, very well known, is where the airplane will go through the barrier of sound. Likewise, there are numbers of Weber, there's number of Struhal, there's numbers of Reynolds, which has to do with flow patterns. Most of them have to do with vibrations in different ways. And all of them have to do with how that system in its environment will have a critical transition. It's called the critical boundary, or the critical parameters. That's where things will turn around. René Thom, in his mathematics, would call that a cusp. You would consider it to be the egg of the chick. What dimensionless numbers then define is that eggshell, which defines the relation between what's inside of the egg and outside of the egg. It will crack in some way or the other. And the beauty of the dimensionless numbers of Henry Langerhans in dimensional analysis is that this is the general principle of this third order system. the crucial system, the critical system, the transitional system, the system of puberty, where you discover that you're not a baby child and a boy or a girl, but that you actually need to reconsider everything, that everything you knew from within the egg, you now need to understand in terms outside of the egg. You cannot do that before you leave the egg. You do not know how to crack the egg, but dimensional analysis shows that these critical parameters show that you can crack the egg, and that's the beauty of that whole approach, that you can get out of that limitation. The critical numbers, the dimensionless numbers, are precisely where you need to be, where you need to tap the egg to crack it. And that is precisely what we need to understand in the context of beliefs. I'll come back to that in a bit. But first I need to finish this build up from the first, the second, the third, the fourth order system. Because that third order system needs to be understood in terms of the fourth order system, which is that what is on the other side of the boundary. As I mentioned, classical science is the first order system, steady state. Relativity theory is about ongoing process. Quantum theory is about that quantum leap, the transition from one side of the eggshell to the other side of the eggshell. But unified theory is outside of the eggshell. Classical theory works with matter. Relativity theory is about molecules. Quantum theory is about, quantum mechanics is about atoms. And unified field theory is immaterial. Everything you knew before no longer applies. The universal principles still apply, but there is nothing that you can understand, because that what you knew was based on what you have experienced before. So having put in place these four levels of organization, the first level, the steady state, second level, the variational process, the third level, the interactive transformation, fourth level, the universal integration, then it is possible to see what that third order system, that critical system, that boundary system does, because it is so crucial, so critical, and so defining, so determining, because that literally defines and determines the edge of the boundary, the critical system boundary. That's also why I refer to the dimensional analysis, because that zooms in precisely on that boundary, so that you can see that that boundary is simply a crest on the wave of transition of what was before to what comes after. That's also why I used that four-dimensional dynamic logic, that boundary is the wave crest. On the one side, it's the inside of the system. A classical relativistic quantum mechanics deals with that. But on the other side is the outside of the system. The subatomic tetrionic quantum field deals with that. But it is in that crucial boundary where in science, classical is the material, relativity is the molecular. The third order system is in the atomic electron dynamic, but that is where you see that on one hand you're dealing with the old system with electrons, on the other hand you're dealing with the fourth level, which is the immaterial force field. If you have not yet cracked the egg and not yet gone out of the immaterial force field, then you have no knowledge whatsoever that you can use to see how different things are and will be. Okay, so I have put in place the four levels, the fourth order systems, connected them to system theory, connected them to science, connected to the four states of alchemy, state, process, transformation, integration, And now I wish to connect them to the beliefs. And to connect it to the beliefs, I first need to recapitulate those four levels, because only then is it possible to see how belief manipulation takes place and how you can become immune to belief manipulation. And just to run a bit ahead of things, at the level of beliefs is also the level of the immune system. So to be immune to the beliefs of others, you need to have a belief which is not dependent on the views of others, which is also not dependent on your own view, but which is based on that fourth field, that you know how things really are, however whomever thinks about it. That includes you. So that the only way to get out of the blind lock of beliefs as convictions is to know that a belief is simply a reflection of something which you have experienced in the past and which you held to be valid for the future also. So let's first build up how you come to create a belief and why that is so important, because it drives the reflex. But by understanding how you create a belief, you can also understand how you dismantle a belief. This is where I need to come back to the stories about freedom of choice. We have freedom of choice because we are part of the universe as a whole, and in the universe as a whole we can define how we integrate or disintegrate with everything that is. We are free to choose to be or not to be in whatever is or is not. And as I mentioned elsewhere, whatever is often what people believe to be the material stuff, and whatever is not is what people believe to be the immaterial stuff, and whatever is what people can perceive and believe, and what is not is associated with what people cannot perceive or do not believe or don't want to believe. So you already see how important belief is in that structure. But in the universe as a whole, it doesn't matter, because the universe is, regardless of how you look at it. In that sense, you're a baby in the universe and it just simply is. Once you start to become aware of that, then you realize that you are not just in the universe, but you're in a different environment in the universe. You change your position in the universe. That's where you go from the baby level to the child level. You start to walk around and you realize that there are different perspectives on the universe, that it's not just simply as it is, but it can appear differently because you change your involvement. And when you sense that it is different, you also know that you can interact with it differently. So from the steady state, you go into this variational process. You learn to walk, you learn to dance, and then you also learn to discriminate. That some steps you take, you can walk ahead. Some steps you take, you fall. And that's where, from having choices, you then come to decisions. Do you take the yes step next, or next step yes or no? Do you move one foot ahead and then move the same foot backwards? Or do you move one foot ahead and move the other foot ahead forwards as well? After that, do you move one foot back and the other foot back as well? So you made a step out, but you made a step back as well. Or do you start to walk? You go one foot forward, the other foot forward, and then the one foot forward again, and the other foot forward again. So that's where you then had the first situations that you have both feet on the floor. As people say, you need to have both feet on the ground. And my reply is generally, that means you never make a step ahead. The second option is that you have both feet on the ground and you take that step ahead. You see that there is a different standpoint. You see that there's a different perspective. You see that there, experience that there is a different involvement. But then you also realize that one step back you already knew, one step ahead you step into the unknown yet again. If you do that next step again and again, you start to walk in the path of creation and you move ahead, and what you have done as a decision to not change, to not stay in the state where you were, but to move, and then leads to a change of experience that the knowledge you had doesn't apply for the next situation. The next knowledge that you have does not apply for the next situation. And in the way, you need to uproot what you were doing. And paradoxically or metaphorically, that's also what happens in the forms of life. The seed in the ground, or the microbe in the ground, is embedded in that ground, needs that ground, and that's it. Once that seed sprouts and becomes a plant, it is rooted in that spot. It is at that standpoint, but it's also taken a step ahead. It is now also rooted in the air. So the plant at the roots is connected to earth and water, at the leaves is connected to air and light, and the plant is the bridge between them. The plant is actually now interfacing between two realms. It's not locked in one realm, but it's interfacing between two realms. Then the animal does the same, but it interfaces between two realms or two territories. It is not just in the territory where it was connecting earth and water, air and light, but it can also do it that in a different environment. So that's the third order system. It got out of its flower pot. As an animal, it can now walk the earth. It has actually interiorized the cycles of the seasons in the blood circulation, which can compensate between warm and cold, dry and wet. So we have our own little bag of climate and earth around us, with us. And that's essentially also the story of the Garden of Eden, that our body is the flower pot, it is the plant, it is the animal, and it is the possibility to have the fruit of experience by connecting different environments. And that third level, where the animal then can go from one territory to the other, can connect to the fourth level, is that the animal remembers all of the previous environments and can accommodate for that, can integrate by it, and as a result can have this perception of what is, not on the basis of what was just before, but on what can be in different settings. And that's where intelligence comes into the story. That it's possible to foresee a new setting and to use information from old settings, but in the mind swap experiences from one setting to the other, and by doing that have more solutions for what is about to come. But that is also that what was in the past is then foreseen into the future, and that takes place at that third order level, at that transition level, where the part connects to the whole. So at that level, when you then see that the seed goes, or the microbe goes into becomes the plant, and the plant becomes the animal, then likewise in our experience of freedom of life, the experience of freedom of choice, we have freedom of choice at the first level, take a decision at the second level, and then create a conviction at the third level. And the conviction is that we can be able to hold on to a specific interaction with the environment, even though the environment changes, and we can still choose to relate to different aspects of the environment in a different kind of manner. So we can, for example, see that the gully there can at another time be a large river, had the gully, we can just take a step and cross it. The large river, we need to find something else, and then we invent a boat or create a bridge. So in that third level, we're using a new kind of notion, but we can do that because we hold the information of previous experiences within us. And that is what people then call a memory or a belief or a conviction. It is a memory when it's simply a mental image, an experiential record of something what happens in the past. It is a belief when that memory is sort of held as being valid in the present as well. For example, you've experienced that gully can be flooded and become a large river, and then in your belief system you can know that gully can be a river, and you take that into account. So you hold one picture of the past and project it onto the present, so that you can accommodate for that potential change of suddenly, in the desert they call it the wadi, that suddenly there's this whole flood that comes by. And if you had forgotten about that, you might be in a big problem. So the belief is the knowledge that that situation might potentially still be there. The conviction is that you hold that situation to be there still. And in that way, our beliefs are tools for creation of the future by building up on the past. And then by our beliefs, we can, it's like you take a bite from the apple, and you then have that bit of the apple traveling through you, while for the rest we travel with our body to the environment. We travel in the double sense. Our body travels through the environment, our food travels through the body. So the environment travels through the body. So we travel through the environment travels through us. And internally we swap being inside and being outside all the time. And belief is similar, that in the present we can still travel in the past or be in the past. And so beliefs and convictions are really important and valuable, and that's why so many cultures have storytellings of memory tellings and memory records. But things go wrong when people say that what happens in the past will also happen in the future. That the memory becomes a belief, and as a belief it then becomes a conviction, and then people, religions are based on that. The perception of the past becomes a projection of the future, and in a way then people start to relive their past. They stop living. They just become replicators of something that was, instead of experiencing something that is. So we need to have a double understanding of that. So that on the one hand, that is the first order, second order, third order system, I say the material, the molecular, and the atomic, which is always dealing with matter. That's one part of the story, and the fourth element system is the immaterial, that's the other part of the story. So yes, we do have experiences and memories and beliefs, but if we project the beliefs in the future as convictions, we no longer see, we no longer anticipate, some people don't even experience what's actually happening on that moment. And fundamentalists, they do that in psychology, psychiatry. They call it the disbalance between perception and projection. When people project all the time without perceiving, they are in a process of derealization. They no longer experience reality as it is, but put something else instead. So they relive the past in the future. They look at people on basis of their behavior in the past. A lot of criminal systems are based on that. A lot of psychotherapy is based on that. But all of these projections of the past into the future are based on memory and thus on mind, and not based on experience and thus on soul. So in this third order system, it's really important to realize what kind of beliefs you entertain, for the simple reason that when you have freedom of choice and you took a decision and you created a belief, then your reflex system will reenact, project, continue that belief, and your reflex system will then continue that past into the future. And when people do not pay attention to that, then their reflex behavior, which is designed to help them live and carry through in unknown circumstances, can actually be the cause of death because of the use of a reflex which is inappropriate for that new setting. So when people project without perceiving, that's the essence of the narcissistic trait as well, they simply project the past onto the future and get caught in by their past and in the past in the future. That's actually the story of the wife of Lot in the Bible. A woman leaves the village, and then she is used to what happens in the village. She's operating by reflex. She's operated by belief. And at the moment that she crosses the hill outside of the village, she enters into a new world. So she crosses the third order system into the fourth order system. She goes into a new reality. She cracks the egg. She leaves the nest. But if she then turns around and looks back, she starts to project onto the present and into the future what happened in the past, and that is not applicable. So fear freezes her, and as a salt pillar, there she goes into the story of the Bible. So there is a grave risk in beliefs operated as convictions, because then the reflexes will keep on continuing the past instead of being flexible for the future. In the dismantling of beliefs, it is normally so that people only experience that when they become sick, when their reflexes crash themselves in their environment, where their body starts to have severe problems because they bump into reality as a result of their realization. Again and again, and then either the body suffers, or their mind suffers, or their soul suffers, and they could suffer, the people that they associate with can suffer, their environment can suffer by planetary pollution and other stuff. But that is all the consequence of erroneous reflexes. The reflexes worked well in the past, but they were not intended for that specific future, and they needed to be updated for that future. But if people hold by their beliefs, I say, well, the book says so, or the elders say so. No, the book said so because somebody in the past wrote it down. The elders said so because that's what they experienced in the past, but that's not in the present. So people need to realize that if the reflexes are dysfunctional, then they need to change their belief. They need to realize that whatever they held to be true, that bite of the apple of the hologram that they took and that they digest within them, literally it is their digestive system, the chakra system, the organ system, everything that Pavlov researched, that digests that specific experience of reality, keeps on doing so, and thereby creates the internal climate, which Claude Bernard referred to, which is the climate of the landscape which the cells then act out by reflexes. So if the reflexes don't work, you need to change that internal climate by changing the belief, by realizing that the belief that you had is not correct, that you need a different belief. But if you're fixed or fixated in a belief by having turned it into a conviction, then people become a convict of their own conviction. They become imprisoned in their past. They no longer consider that things could be differently. and religion, political systems, peer pressures, family clusters, family constellations, they tend to do that, because if you change, then somebody else needs to change as well. But the fact is quite simple. You realize that you need to change, so the other needs to change as well. When they try to stop you from changing, you can't do that, because for you, for them too, that doesn't work, because you already realized that the conduct that is the result of your conviction is dysfunctional. The only way to change your conduct is to change your conviction. In order to change your conviction, you need to change your belief. So the belief was anchored on a decision you took, so you need to redo that decision. And once you realize that, you can go back to what was the circumstance that I was there. I was nearly flooded by that river. I remember that there is a possibility of boat. I remember that boat can be carried away. I remember the possibility of the tree across the brook. I can build a bridge. I need to realize that the bridge too can be carried away. I need to be clever and foresee different solutions for this potential problem, which at this moment does not exist. And then I can decide which is the best option that I can deal with, so that in this situation I can be fully integrated and enjoy. So the repair of reflexes requires a repair of the beliefs. The repair of the belief requires a repair of the decision. And that then brings you back to freedom of choice. As I mentioned, belief is often what people have decided on. Often they have decided not to review their decision, and often that is because other people around them shared their decision and as a result shared their belief. So this is where individual decision taking and group decision taking then comes clustered and cluttered. And when you realize that you need to change your belief, other people might be afraid to do so, because either they have not foreseen the situation that they will be ending up in and do not realize that what they believe in and what they do based on that belief is dysfunctional, or they have other fears as a result of which they don't want to look ahead and only look back. In a way, they've become zombies and basically replicate or replay their past. For this part of the story, it's really relevant to realize that your beliefs and the beliefs of others are connected. And if your behavior and the behavior of others needs to be compatible or computable, then there needs to be a shared belief. There needs to be a shared understanding. And many societies don't have that. They have reduced the quality of living by pretending that the behavior that people have is not because it fits the circumstances, because they're all divine universal beings, but they have been conditioned to believe through religions, through education, through politics and through laws, that includes the monetary system, that their values and their meanings are actually not based on their being universal beings, but they're based on the values, beliefs, discernments and decisions of others. So the decisions and discernments and values of others, of course, means that that's a slave system, which is always too late, too limited, too weak, and so on. And the counterpart is that everybody is in their universal awareness, flexible in adapting to the situation, capable of seeing when their reflexes, their conduct does not work, and aware that they need to change their belief. They need to realize that what I normally hold to be true in this case is not true. What I normally do in this case doesn't work. I need to do something different. They go back into the egg, go back into ignorance, go back into learning, and stop projecting the past into the future, and are open to perceive what's actually going on. And from that, like every baby does, distill new patterns of information recognition, so that they can behave accordingly to the circumstances. And people who have learned to rely on their inner self are always able to do that. They're open to the environment, they're flexible in their situation, they're attentive to others, and they're loving in the way they live their life. Because they're in the present, they're in the now and the here. They're working with feeling. The people who are conditioned by their beliefs operate from the past, thus are operated by their emotions, they live in fear, and they're limited or crippled in what they can do. That's also the story of the wife of Lot. If you're frozen because your belief fixes you, then you have an idée fixe, a mental fixation, which is not good for your life in those changing settings. So there is a difficulty that in that third order system, when people go from baby to child through puberty, are becoming adolescents so that they become adult, in that third order system they realize that they need to have their own autonomy to be their own authority as a sovereign being. But in many societies, other people in that society try to prevent that. They try to keep them in slavery, they try to keep them dependent. Dependent on money, dependent on laws, depending on the decisions of others, depending on politics, depending on church, depending on education and all that. So that they're basically replaying the past, so that everybody replays, reads from the same script book, as they then would say, instead of realizing that we need to rewrite our book of life all the time. And then compare notes, and then find what's the common story that we all share. So in that transition from individual to being a human in humanity, that third order system, where the beliefs operate, where the immune system operates, where identity is being established. If your identity is being determined by others, then you are in a slave system. If you determine your identity but don't respect to the others, you're still in a slave system. You just treat others like slave. Incomplete development. At the moment that you realize that you're independent and others are independent, basically you start to respect that others are different, but you cannot yet connect the dots. It's only when you realize that you're independent, that they are independent, that together you're each a cell in the body of humanity, that you start to live from the perspective of humanity rather than from the perspective of the human. You cracked the egg, you left the nest, you can see that there's a larger world out there, even though you don't know it yet. You know that you don't know, but you know that you're able to learn to live with it, because as a baby that's what you already have discovered. That transition from knowing that you have your beliefs but still ignoring the other is in politics called a dictatorship. The second level is that you know that you have your beliefs, that others have their beliefs, but you can't quite integrate it, is that of oligarchy. Then the third level is where you know that you have your belief, that others have their beliefs, but you don't see the shared belief yet. That's where you then have the politics of democracy. And the fourth level is where you realize that you have your belief, they have their beliefs, but there is something that shares and connects us all. That's the political system of an autarchy. But if autarchy is not achieved, then a lot of people, the first, second and third order system of belief, the dictatorship, the oligarchy, and the democracy, or the democracy, is where people are still dependent on the beliefs of others, and either depend on it or react to it or try to interact with it. But it's only at the fourth level that people can then transcend it and realize that we must all have our own beliefs, because if survival situations change, some of us will have a better solution and everybody can learn from that. Darwin's story exits from the window right there. It is not about survival of the fittest. The law of the jungle is very simple. It is those who communicate are fed, those who don't communicate are food. If in a society anybody has the solution which works, then everybody can have the solution that works. That's the survival of the species. The individuals have the impulse for the collective. Communism and socialism haven't resolved that. Capitalism and theocracies haven't resolved that either. Because it is not coming from outside, it can only come from within. And so by realizing that it happens within, by realizing that you need to have integrity of identity, then you can already know that your immune system is connected to that. The immune system is connected to the neurons and the hormones. It's also connected to the immune system cells and the microbiome within us. All of those communications are electromagnetic. So it is evident that in your belief system and in your self-definition, there needs to be a transition. The belief system is like the chemistry of the body. That's the ongoing process. But you need to be able to calibrate that process in changing circumstances. So you need to be able to regulate the inside versus the outside, which happens in that regulatory system where the inside and the outside need to connect, and the boundary is not just the separator but also the connector. And you can no longer look at it from your perspective. You need to see that the perspective of others is equally valid, because their situation corresponds with that, and only then can you go into that perspective that if your perspective and their perspective is different, that means that together you can see more and understand more, and thus you are freed from your mutual limitations. And that's where how the understanding of belief is so important. Essentially that would be the story. But as is, we are living in an environment where a lot of people have not grown up. They have not developed through puberty. Most of them grew into dependence on a banking system, so they don't have their autonomy. Most of them don't make their own law, so they don't have sovereignty. So laws made by others determine their life. Bank values of others determine their worth. And as a result, they are in a form of slavery, because they cannot determine their own values, they cannot determine their own worth, they cannot determine their own life, and also they cannot determine their own decisions. That means that the beliefs of others condition them and define their lives, and when they